Appendix, Extremes. The following relating to extremist was written by Elder James White to a brother at Monroe, Wisconsin, and printed it as an editorial in the Review of March 17, 1868, Volume 31, Number 14, page 220. Probably there has not been an important movement or reform for the benefit of fallen man which would, if properly conducted, result in his own spiritual advancement that has been free from extremes. There are always many who move too slowly, and that testimony necessary to urge them to duty is always to be taken advantage of by some who have more zeal and caution. While Satan tempts the many to be too slow, he always tempts these to be too fast. Mrs. White's labors are made very hard and sometimes perplexing by reason of the course of extremists who think the only safe position is to take the extreme view of every expression she has written or spoken upon points where different views may be taken. These persons will often hang upon their interpretation of an expression and push matters at all hazards and utterly disregard what she has said of the danger of extremes. We suggest that these loosen their hold of some of her strong expressions designed to move the tardy and for a while suspend their whole weight upon some of the many cautions she has given for the benefit of extremists. In doing this, they will be more safe themselves and will get out of her way, that she may speak freely to those who need urging to duty. Now they stand between her and the people and paralyze her testimony and are the cause of divisions. Satan uses two classes to keep the body of the people behind their duty. First, those who are too fast, and second, the rebellious. The latter are usually either those who have been reproved for their haste or those who have been turned aside by these hasty persons. Let these get out of the way and let the body be moved forward unitedly by the testimony of the Lord. Mrs. White needs the help of all who can help in the cause of truth and reform. The people generally are slow to move and move hardly at all. A few move cautiously and well, while others go too fast. The work of reform is not brought about in a single day. The people must be helped where they are. They can be helped better by one standing on the line of truth nearest them than on the side the greatest distance from them. It is best for them to be taught on all points of truth and duty by persons of judgment and caution, and as fast as God in His providence unfolds them to His people. He who is but partly reformed himself and teaches the people will do some good. He who sees the duty of reform and is full strict enough in any case and allows of no exceptions and drives matters is sure to drive the reform into the ground and hurt his own soul and injure others. Such do not help Mrs. White, but greatly burden her in her arduous work. We invite you, entreat such to get out of the way and let Mrs. White come to the people. She works to this disadvantage, namely, she makes strong appeals to the people, which a few feel deeply, and take wrong positions and go to extremes. Then, to save the cause from ruin in consequence of these extremes, she is obliged to come out with reproofs for extremists in a public manner. This is better than to have things go to pieces, but the influence of both the extremes and the reproofs are terrible on the cause and bring upon Mrs. White a threefold burden. Here is the difficulty. What she may say to urge the tardy is taken by the prompt to urge them over the mark, and what she may say to caution the prompt, zealous, and cautious ones is taken by the tardy as an excuse to remain too far behind. We say to those who wish to help Mrs. White in her work, you will not find her far ahead of the people with a few extremists. No, she is back with the people, tugging away at the wheel of reform, and has to lift all the harder because of your extreme advance. Come back, good whole-hearted souls, and stand by her side and lift where she lifts. What can you do there at such a distance from the people? Come back. You must meet the people where they are. From Statements Concerning the Visions of Mrs. E. G. White, pages 33 and 34. Statement Regarding the Vision by Elder Uriah Smith. In the days when Elder D. M. Canwright was discrediting the spirit of prophecy, it was currently reported by the enemies of our faith that Elder Uriah Smith had been troubled over the question of the visions and at one time came very near giving them up. This report led Elder Smith to write a statement of his personal belief and the basis on which he founded his faith. Following is a portion of his statement published in 1888. That I have had in my experience occasional periods of trial, I do not deny. There have been times when circumstances seem very perplexing, when the way to harmonize apparently conflicting views did not at once appear, and under what seem for the time strong provocations to withdraw from the work. I have canvassed the question how far this could reasonably be done, or how much of this work could consistently be surrounded. I have pondered the question whether this point was not inconsistent or that absurd, or the other out of harmony with reason and revelation, and whether this feature ought not to be readjusted or the other set aside entirely. All this ground I have gone over as thoroughly as any one of no more ability than myself could go, and with as great a degree of candor as any one in as much darkness as I was in would be likely to maintain. But the weight of evidence has never in my mind balanced on the side of surrender. This I can say, that never since I became fully acquainted with the system which we denominate the present truth, so as to comprehend it in its sublime proportions, its divine harmony, and its inseparable connections, have I had the least shadow of misgiving as to its truthfulness in its fundamental principles and its stability and final triumph as the work of God. It is evident also that this work before its close must present the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel and some prophecies of the book of Revelation. And to whatever degree I may have persuaded myself that this cause might have been so far developed without this feature which we call the spirit of prophecy, it was only to look for something of the kind to appear in the future, for without this it would lack one of the tests of being the work of the last generation. This was not the phase of the question, however, with which we had to deal, for here was a manifestation which had been interwoven with this cause from its very commencement, and the idea of separating this feature from it now in the present stage of the work is very different from the question of how things might have been if no such feature had yet been connected with it. A little reflection is sufficient to show that the message, and this which purports to be one of the gifts of the Spirit which has accompanied it, cannot be separated. Well then, says one, the absurdity of this part of the work is sufficient to overthrow the other. To which I reply, no, for the strength of the other part is sufficient to hold a person from giving up this. And this has been the position I have occupied. It has never seemed to me the part of wisdom to fix the mind upon any one point to the exclusion of all the rest, and let a difficulty there distract the view from everything else, and override every other consideration, and then, because everything was not clear right at that point, to make an impulsive and rash plunge, which would lead to the surrender of other points which one did not anticipate, and which he did not desire to surrender. It has seemed to me the better way to consider the question in all its bearings, note the effects which would be produced, take in the consequences, and not make a move until one was prepared to accept the results which it was foreseen would probably or inevitably follow. Upon this principle I have tried to act. Of admonitions and reproofs I have needed my full share, and whenever anything of this nature has come which I could not understand, or circumstances have arisen which seemed inexplicable, I have been content to wait, knowing that the foundation of God time would accomplish. The beautiful sentiment of the hymn has often come to my mind both as a caution and a prophecy. Soon shall our doubts and fears all yield to thy control. Thy tender mercies shall illume the midnight of the soul. A general in battle does not despair of his army while the center stands firm. The wings may waver, there may come confusion on the outskirts, but while the center holds, a battle is not lost. So with the present truth, so long as the main pillars remain unshaken, it is folly to leave the building as if it were about to fall. Relative to my present position, I can say that everything seems clear and satisfactory to my mind. From statements concerning the visions of Mrs. E.G. White, pages 162 to 164.